Hello, I'm Tari King, and today I'm talking to the rather wonderful Jean from Series 3 of DNA Family Secrets. Jean, I don't know if you are aware of this, but your story on the program has gone a bit viral on social media, I think because you were just so kind and empathetic about what had happened to your mom and what we had found out. So for those who haven't seen it, take us right back to the very beginning. Why did you come to see us at DNA Family Secrets?
I was evacuated when I was 7 with my sister. And so we were taken to school. We had to wait in the playground. We all had a number. We had to stand behind that particular number. Parents were not allowed to go to the station with us. They had to leave us on the coach and then we went on the train. But because I was so upset about going, I didn't want to go. And my mum told me that I was only going for one day and that she would come and get me at bedtime. When she didn't come at bedtime, and Mrs. Slater, the lady we went to live with, said we had to go to bed, I think I was very unhappy and kicked off. And I don't think that started very well, because eventually I was taken to live with another lady. And it was while I was living with Mrs. Benson that obviously it was my father who'd been to see me. And apparently we were going to be moved the next day. And Mrs. Benson was left to tell me that my mother had died. And I didn't understand what death was, because nobody had ever died before. I didn't know anything about it. And then somewhere I had it in my mind that my mother had been bombed in the house, because everything was being bombed in those days. And I just accepted that. An adult had told me. Nobody mentioned my mother's name ever again. And that was it. She was out of our lives.
So your dad shows up, and then pretty quickly afterwards, I mean, he doesn't even do it himself, but he has somebody tell you
yes.
that your mum has been killed.
He asked Mrs. Benson to tell me. She sat me on her lap and she said, "Your daddy has asked me to tell you something. He's asked me to tell you that your mummy has died."
But you're obviously questioning this, because you come to us to find out if that's true. So what's prompted you to do that?
That was when I asked Kevin, when he was going to Manchester to visit family, and I asked him, just out of curiosity, could he have a look and see what had been built where my house used to be? And of course he came back and said, "Well, your house is still there. It wasn't bombed." All my life, I had believed that the house had been bombed and my mother was in it and she died. And that was what I'd always believed, because nobody told me any different and her name was never mentioned anywhere to me again.
So life moves on, and I know you get married and you have a baby and the marriage doesn't work out. And what happens next?
Well, I had to write to my father and ask if we could go and live with him until we'd got ourselves settled. I was fortunate. He said yes. Went to live with Dad and my stepmother, and I got a job. I suppose we were quite happy. And then I got the chance to come to Gloucester to open up a new office for the same company. And I thought that was an ideal chance to start again with everything. I obviously met somebody else, got married, had my own home, and then my two boys. I was happy.
So fast forward to a couple of years ago, and you see this advert and you come to us. I was thinking, gosh, this is going to be a really interesting one and possibly relatively easy, because I thought, well, surely we'll just find a death certificate for your mom. But it was actually a really interesting one because couldn't find anything. Knew your mom's name and was looking and couldn't find anything. And we thought, well, it's very rare that someone's death wasn't registered, even during the war. So then we start to think, okay, did she actually die? Did she remarry? Did she survive? Did she move? And started looking for marriages for people with your mom's name. So both the maiden name and also the married name. Alice is obviously a really incredibly common name, particularly at that period. And even Alice Maud is quite common. So it's a case of kind of going through each of these. There's so many of them. And then one of the people who does research for us spotted something. He spotted somebody with the name. So the birth date, the day was right, but the year was completely wrong. But we thought, let's just order the marriage certificate. Let's just see if this is her. So she'd obviously kind of disguised herself with the date. She'd made herself much younger, as we often find sometimes happens in records. But once the marriage certificate arrived, her sister was on it as a witness.
Oh.
So we could see that really, really quickly. Oh, okay, it is her. So she's married this individual. And then it's a case of, right, did she have any children? So we're searching through all of the birth records. And I could see that she had had a child. And then, is this woman still alive? So her name was Valerie. And then we could see that she'd passed away. And I'm madly looking to see if she's had any children. Mm-hmm. And then I could see that she had had Dawn and Cheryl. And Cheryl was back home. So I'm from Canada and she's back home in Canada. I'm madly trying to get a hold of her and also trace Dawn. I can see they're getting married and things like this. And it was one of these things of calling this lady up and telling her this story of what we're doing. And would she take a DNA test? Because we think that you may actually have an auntie. And she was so great and so touched and willing to take a DNA test immediately. And then with that, I could look against your DNA to see whether or not this was right. And it was. So when I was telling you that we found your mum, how was that? Because it must be a lot to take in all at once.
Well, when I was coming home from Leicester, I sat in the car and I thought, 83 years it's taken me to find out that she didn't die. And I sat there and I felt deprived. If she hadn't left me, we could have done this, we could have done that. She could have seen me get married. She could have seen this, that, and the other. And I did feel as though somebody had stolen something from me. And then I started to think over the story you told me. And all of a sudden, I felt quite selfish. I was deprived. Who was I? I'd gone through school. I'd worked. I'd got married. Gone through a broken marriage, still had my daughter with me, moved to Gloucester, had two little boys, seen my daughter get married, seen my boys get married, held their babies. And I thought, what do you mean you've been deprived? Don't you think she was deprived? I felt ashamed of myself in a way. You're feeling sorry for yourself. And I was going through what you told me, and she died in 1958.
She did.
Now, she had three daughters, and we were all born in April. We all got April birthdays. What had she seen of their lives? Nothing. Valerie was only 15 when her mum died. So she'd not seen Valerie grow up, really. She'd not seen Valerie get married, not seen Valerie's children. And yeah, so many emotions, but ashamed of myself, sort of thinking, well, you were deprived. What was her life like? And that's what I've sort of thought of since. Analysing it all and thinking about it, I thought, well, it couldn't have been a happy marriage. And for her to have got married again and had a baby, and for us to have been wafted away back to Manchester to the family that we didn't know. And obviously they'd chosen people that my mother didn't know. If she'd have known the family, she would have come looking for us at some point. I thought, no, Dad had come along and he told her that, you know, yeah, okay, you go, but you're not having those two. There's a lot of funny thoughts go through my mind, a lot of emotion, but also, you know, well, Dad only used to come over from Harrogate about once every 3 months. You know, he came, saw us for a couple of hours and then wafted back to Harrogate.
So after you see me and I tell you that we've managed to find out what's happened to your mum and that you've got nieces, and you then go in to see Stacey, who shows you a picture of your mum, and you'd not seen a photo before. What was that like?
It was absolutely amazing. And I looked at it and I thought, when I was younger, I looked a bit like that. And I just wanted to keep looking at it. And as soon as I came home, I put it in a frame, put it on the top of that cabinet, and I look at it all the time. Yeah. But 83 years to see what your mother looked like. Gosh. But I wasn't disappointed or anything. I was just happy to see her.
One of the big things for me was when I was talking to Dawn, and she told me this story that everything sort of clicked into place, because she remembered her mum telling her about how her mum, your mum, had a photo of two little girls on the bedside table and would never say who they were. And I know Stacey told you that story when you went to go and see her. And those two little girls in the photo must have been you. Yeah. And your sister, how was that?
Well, to know that we'd been remembered, very emotional. And I began wishing that I could put time back. I really would love to have been even a small part of her life. I would love her to have been a part of my life. I mean, I loved my mum. I think all through my life, I've wanted a mum. And to know that, yeah, we were still a part of her life, even though she couldn't see us, didn't know where we were, what we were doing. But it was lovely to know that, yeah, she remembered two little girls.
You have quite a lot of family now. So obviously, Valerie, your half-sister, she has two daughters, Dawn and Cheryl, so they're your nieces.
That's right, yes.
But you've also got wider family now, because as I'm doing the research, I'm contacting these people. So you have people like Damien and John. Tell me about that. You now have this huge new family.
Well, it was lovely to talk to Dawn. It really was. And then not long afterwards, she rang me again and I spoke to Cheryl and also to Cheryl's son, who was just about to get married. And from then, we found out about John, one of my slightly removed cousins, and Damien. And from then, their families, people who remembered my mother. And all of a sudden, this new world opens with all these nice new people in it.
Yeah, so now the program's out and you've had some time now. Are you still in touch with Dawn and Cheryl?
Oh, yes. Oh, Kevin's got an app going, you see, and everybody puts their bits on it. So everybody knows what everybody else is doing. There's no privacy anymore. No, everybody knows who's going and when they're going. And they all add their little bit. Susan puts her bit on there. And of course, Susan has spoken to Dawn as well. They are going to meet up. But Susan's got a girl cousin. And she'd never had a girl cousin before. It's just like a family get together. which is lovely. And all of us, for some reason, we can always end on a laugh. No matter how miserable you might feel before they ring, you know, they're lovely.
It's like you're this little epicenter that through taking that little step and coming on DNA Family Secrets, you've brought all these families together around you.
And of course, family history, I don't think it's talked about enough these days. I don't think majority of people, I don't think, know their family history. It's a new interest for all of them. And I'm glad it's happened now. If you hadn't have done all that work, they would never have known. Because, well, once I've gone, they're not going to be able to ask who and why and what.
Do you feel settled?
I do feel settled, yes. It was one thing knowing that she hadn't died, but it was another big thing knowing that she hadn't forgotten us. And yes, that was a lovely settled feeling. She didn't forget us. I would have loved to have held my daughter and said, "Here you are, Mum." I thought that when I was in the hospital, when I had Pat, actually. There were a couple of girls either side and they pulled the curtains round visiting time. And I could hear both the mums talking to the new babies. And I was in the middle and I didn't have a mum to say, "Here you are, Mum. Here's your granddaughter."
So one of the things that we did was we went and located where your mum's grave is, got a little map.
Oh, found, Dawn was telling me last night, near Manchester United's football ground.
Is it? I didn't spot that. But have you been? Are you going to go?
It was more or less arranged. And then, of course, I wasn't well. And we decided at the moment it would be a little bit too much. But yes, I want to go. I want to go and take flowers. Mm. Apparently, Dawn has got friends who are buried in the same cemetery. But yes, I want to go and I want to put flowers just to go up and do that. Just as one last thing.
Jean, you are completely adorable. Thank you so much for talking to me.